Hello, listeners. Kathy Lawless, Life Story Curator. I'm all about capturing and curating career and life stories as a meaningful way to celebrate a milestone moment like a big old birthday, anniversary, retirement, or graduation. And I'm at my best when curating photo books that move your memories from the basement or your phone or your computer to the coffee table, giving you and your family and friends access to these treasured memories for years to come. I also love curating and capturing life and career stories through this podcast series, How Did I Get Here? It's a series of interviews designed for people just starting out in their careers, people in transition or possibly feeling stuck, and giving them access to the stories of people who have been there, done that, so that they might be inspired with some new ideas or maybe just comforted knowing they're not alone, that everybody starts somewhere and everybody goes through times of transition and times when they feel stuck. Today, I'm very excited to be interviewing Heather Hukari. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you.
And Heather is the owner and lead video creator of Video Service Hub. So this is, I always love these videographers because they're storytellers. And so anyway, it's always a great interview. So I can't wait to dive into it. We're going to pause for a moment to hear from a very happy life story curator client.
My name is Eleanor Allen, and I recently finished a project with Kathy about my mother's life story. And the reason I wanted to do her life story was that she's first 91 years old. And second, we've been talking about it for years as a family. I have four brothers and many nieces and nephews. And we had never gotten around to making the book. Then one day I was out with another friend who is a mutual friend of mine and Kathy's. And she showed me the book that Kathy had made about her parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And I thought right then and there, this is the answer. I gotta hire Kathy to get this life story finally done for my mother. So I did. And working with Kathy is just a joy and a pleasure. So first, how do you organize somebody's 90 plus years into a story that's succinct, but also very interesting? And Kathy helped guide myself and my niece and one of my brothers. I have four brothers. One of them worked on this project with us intensely into the storyboarding process and then working into, okay, these are the chapters of her life we're gonna work on, which we went by decade. And then for each decade of her life, what do we need? We need this many pictures and this many vignettes. And then Kathy also brought in this great idea to put in QR codes of recordings. I hadn't even thought of that, but we did several of those. Some are my mother's audio recordings. We captured some of those audio files. Some are video recordings of her telling stories of her life that we have in the book, but of course, much more detail when we have the recording. And some QR codes are also documents. So we put a link to my father's autobiography that he had written for us before he passed as well, and my grandfather's autobiography that my father had done interviewing my grandfather. So very special, and those come to life as well in the book. So I encourage you, if you have any inclination of documenting someone's life story in your life, definitely go for it. It's worth the work, and the product, in this case, my mother's story, is absolutely wonderful, and she was over the moon with joy. So don't wait. Do it. Document the life of your loved ones or whatever special occasion there is and work with Kathy and you will have a wonderful experience.
Heather, before we get into what it's like to be a videographer, tell us a little bit about where you grew up, you know, what part of the country or the world, as well as your family dynamics and birth order, because I think the both of those things really help shape us as adults.
Yeah, definitely. I grew up in Texas. Suburbs of Dallas-Fort Worth area, and my family is all still there. I live in Colorado. I've been in Denver for like 14 years. Majority of my adult life has been here on my own accord. My family unit is my parents, who are still together, and my sister, who's 2 years older, Holly and Heather Hubbard. There's a lot of H's going
that
on.
That is.
So I'm the second and the baby, and our family dynamic we were close. We were tight. We did a lot of quality time stuff together. I think that's probably our love language in my family is quality time. So like vacations were important for my dad to like save up money for so we could go somewhere every year and just like really enjoy that time together. We did like family dinner pretty much every night when it was feasible. So we spent a lot of time together, even though my sister and I certainly are very different. I think we all have sort of different personalities, but we just really enjoyed all those years together. So it was great. It was a good upbringing and young life. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That small family unit, very tight family unit, it sounds like. So what were some of your activities, you and your sister? You said you're very different. Did you both do sports or did one of you do sports, one music, kind of that?
Yeah, I was definitely more athletic from an early age. She tried some sports and just wasn't actually gifted there, I guess, and didn't really have a great experience. My dad filmed a lot. We'd have a lot of home videos, which I think is partially why I got into video. But I do remember a video of her playing soccer and the ball hit her in the stomach really hard. And she just like, her face was just like, oh, and she like started crying instantly. And that, I think it was that instant. She was like, I'm done with this sports crap, you know?
I'm out. Yeah, this can hurt.
Yeah. She was not a fan of that. So yeah, we played together a lot. We would do the normal kid stuff like Barbies and ride our bikes and play with the neighborhood kids and play make believe in our house and probably bother my mom, you know, bug her. I don't know. she's always been more dependent. I've always been more independent and want, you know, I was always more okay with spending time alone and kind of exploring doing my own thing. And she just really likes being around people and, you know, always having somebody there to talk to. She's a big talker.
Okay. Well, that kind of leads to the next question then. Are you an introvert or an extrovert or what they call the
ambivert? I think I'm like equal. Yeah. What did you say?
Ambivert. Yeah. Kind of that middle, both.
Yeah. I think I get a lot of energy from being around people in groups, but then I do just need time to rest, you know, like if currently I have a 2-year-old and I have people that visit a lot, like my parents and my sister, and it's great to have them and my son loves it. But then when they leave, I'm just like, you know, just big breath. I'm alone now. I need to just be here by myself. I really feel like equally, I need both things a lot.
Both things. Yeah. Well, I tend to be on the introvert side. But I'm also more in the middle. And through COVID, you know, I learned how much, I need more people, right? Mm-hmm. But then I think before COVID, I was overdoing it. And I was, you know, I needed more time to myself. Anyway, yeah, it's kind of funny. I think COVID really helped us all recognize who are we and where do we need to be? And sometimes,
yeah. You know, what do we miss?
Yeah. Yeah. One way or the other. Okay, on the fun meter, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being a couch potato and 5 being the life of the party, where do you put yourself?
I feel like it's really mood dependent for me. If I'm in a good mood and I'm like living my best life one day, then I am really fun and I'm like playful and exciting and super funny and quick-witted. And people are like, oh my God, you're awesome. But then other days where I'm just kind of like, blah, like it didn't sleep well. And I'm not really feeling it. Maybe those other days I should be more introverted. then I don't know. People are probably like, oh, Heather's here. Okay. You know, like, I just don't even register anywhere on the meter. So I like it when I'm like a 4 or 5. I just don't think that's like always true all the time.
Yeah. You don't bring that every day or to every outing that you go to.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And on the risk meter, same scale, 1 to 5, 1 being low risk taker, 5 high risk taker, where do you put yourself?
4 or 5, I think. I'm not really afraid of risk, be it physical. I mean, I've done, you know, the risky things like jumping off cliffs, airplanes and all that. And that was a thrill. But also just take chances with business, I think, and with relationships even. I don't know. I don't know what there is to lose, maybe. I mean, I know that there is stuff to lose, right? I mean, I've had things go wrong before. But I mean, life is short and nothing is like super permanent. So it's kind of just like, let's go for it and see what happens.
Cool. Well, I love these intro questions, these icebreakers, because it just gives us insight into, you know, who you are and how you approach life and how you make these decisions in your career. And so sounds like you're kind of, hey, what do I want to do? Well, I'm going to go do it versus someone else. Yeah. Might be, I kind of sort of want to do that, but I don't really know. And how would I get started? You know, you don't have that. You have that. I'm going for it. So, okay.
Yeah. Well, also I recently saw a TikTok. So much of TikTok. I learn a lot from TikTok, actually. I think it's a great platform. But somebody was talking about how our brains are wired to just make decisions. Like they really are. That's what they want to do. That's what they're good at. But so many times we hem and haw and, oh, there's so many possibilities and I don't know. And what if I regret it and just wind up not making a decision? And that just puts us in this perpetual state of like our brains not performing their best or feeling their best. So if we just make a decision on things and just, like, stop the hem and haw, you know, that feels better to us. So I think I've somehow knew that, you know, along the way and have just been pretty decisive on things and going for what I want.
Of course, then you see something like that and it reinforces that is how you are. But I love that because I got to tell you, this is me and my husband are just having this conversation yesterday about being in action. When you're not in action, you know, when you're in that state of indecision and I don't know, and what should I, you know, that's not a comfortable place to be in. And once you make that decision, it's so powerful, right? And you just move into it. And so that is a big part, I think, of this podcast and what I want listeners to get out of this a lot of times is sometimes you just have to go for stuff. And there's, I'd like to say there's no real big mistake you can make except being in action, right? If you just hesitate always, 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 you probably regret that more than you would. Hey, I took a step. It didn't work, but it led me over here. I mean, that's usually what I find from almost everyone I've interviewed, but it led me over here. It led me somewhere. Whereas if I'd have just stayed in my comfort zone, it probably wouldn't have led me anywhere. Right. So.
Right. Yeah. It's super important.
Cool. Thanks for sharing the TikTok. Cause I, you know, TikTok gets a little bit of a bad rap, but look at how educational that was for us.
It's great. It's changed a lot. It has a bad rap, but there's some good stuff on there for sure. And it's just growing and getting better.
You might have to share with me how you find that. I don't even think I've been on TikTok at all. So maybe if I go in with that good mindset, then I'll find some good stuff. So
yeah, it's addictive though. It's addictive. Once you start seeing the good stuff, you just keep scrolling more and more. But it comes
with a disclaimer and a warning.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Okay. Well, Heather, tell us what it's like to be the owner and lead video creator of Video Service Hub. And then we'll get into how did I get here?
Okay. Yeah. So I have my own business. I've had it for 4 years now and it's great. I do I make a variety of videos for different clients, different companies, ranging from training videos, internal communications for like bigger corporate companies, marketing videos for big or small companies, social media videos for people now is becoming more and more important. I've edited online courses for people. I have my own online course too. But you know, that's basically online courses training. So it's, you know, it's basically training. I've done a lot of training. but yeah, so I don't have like one type of video I make. I just, whatever client I have, whoever's approaching me, hey, I need a video. We talk about what that video needs to be, where it needs to go, what results it needs to get, and go from there. Sometimes my company is just me, but I use contractors too for certain aspects. So I often say we, even though it's like kind of me plus occasionally plus a few, but we'll figure out from the beginning, you know, do we need to help with script writing, conceptualizing, filming, and then all the post-production, you know, or is somebody coming to us with a script already and they just say, I want this filmed. I know exactly what I want. I just need the production done. I need to make it look good. And we can go from there too. So we've kind of done the whole gamut of production along with just whatever pieces are needed too. Occasionally it happens that it's just a shoot and the footage is given away, but that's pretty infrequent. Most of the time I wind up doing more post-production editing and finishing work than, you know, than only shooting. So it's really fun. Before this, I worked in corporate for almost 5 years at Chipotle. I did a training, internal comms videos there. So it was a big change to go from working with a team to branching out and working on my own. So it's been a shift, but being that equal introvert, extrovert, I like it. And some days I wish I had more people I worked with, you know, it's kind of the grass is greener. Because when I was working there, I was like, man, I wish I just worked for myself, you know, half the time. So yeah, so it's good. It's been an adjustment, and but like in a good way. I have a lot more time freedom. I get to kind of pick and choose when I need to get the work done. And I've met so many more people this way too, working with different clients, you know, and just had a good chance to flex my creative muscles by doing different types of videos and figuring out what people need, how to best make it to help. I mean, basically make them money, right? That's every business's end goal. So
it sounds like you had all these skills before you launched your own business because mm-hmm. you had that time in corporate. But I totally get it that the flexibility when you own your own business, of course, with flexibility comes the downtime, right? The I don't have the next job, don't have the next project, which can also be a little bit scary. So, well, very cool. So sounds like full service mm-hmm. Video, which is why you're called the Video Service Hub. So mm-hmm. tell us, okay, we'll go back to your childhood again, your junior high school. Did you mm-hmm. always want to get into video? It sounds like your dad was a filmer. So was it in your DNA? Were you always running around with the camera?
I mean, you know, I wasn't. I was more like wanted to be in front of the camera for a long time. Mm. But I did always love video. I mean, I had TV shows from early on, I guess, like, I don't know if we had limits on TV time, I guess not screen time. So yeah, I was way into TV and movies, like from childhood on, and watching my home videos and being in them was like really fun and special. And it still is to go back and watch some of those. It's so funny to see yourself at different ages. And also now with a 2-year-old, I like compare him to how I was then, yeah, that I've seen, because I've seen myself as being a 2-year-old on video. So it's super cool. Great way to preserve memories.
The mannerisms that he probably did that were you as at 2 probably, right? You're like, oh my gosh, that's me.
Yeah, totally. And like, I wouldn't know that had there not been mm-hmm. video. I would have just, my parents would have been like, that's how you were. And I would have been like, okay, I guess, you know.
Because you can't see that.
I think
in a photograph, you know, you hear people say, oh yeah, when I look at my 2-year-old self in a photo and now my 2-year, you know, that you can see some similarity, but yeah, the mannerisms and personality and
All videos, just, it's like pictures on crack. It's there's so much more than a photo. But yeah, so I just loved it. And then I wanted to act, and I just realized pretty quickly in middle school, early high school, that I was not very good at acting. I cannot sing. I did theater, and I was always like cast as a chorus member and like stood in the back.
Or so you were good. An extra, you were one of the people walking through the scene, maybe. You were, hey, wait, I mean, come totally. On lines.
Yeah. I'm like, please God, don't let her sing in front of people ever. But it was fine. It was a fine realization. I was like, okay. But then I took like a multimedia class and got to do an edit. It was just like pictures with music. It was very basic, you know, I don't even know what equipment we had. But I just absolutely fell in love with that process of editing, choosing how long the pictures are up, what music goes, can I make it to the beat, you know, and this was in the 90s. I mean, I graduated high school in 98. So, you know, we didn't have phones yet and mm-hmm. nonlinear editing systems, you know, it was very basic stuff. But I fell in love with the process of editing, and I just knew, I don't know if I like consciously knew, but at least subconsciously, I was like, well, this is what I'm going to do forever. So I just did. I went to college and focused on mass communications, but really I focused on multimedia and video production. And the college I went to, small private school, just had a great broadcasting department, like great cameras, got nonlinear editing systems really early, like when they first came out. So it was, and we had like a news studio. We did a weekly news show. We got to run around campus with this nice equipment and do whatever we wanted with it. So it was a great learning experience because I got like very hands-on how to make video. I made like soccer highlight videos for the teams and some travel videos for people and like a couple weddings even early on using school equipment. So I was pretty immersed and like ready to jump into the career after college at that point.
Wow, how fun. This mm-hmm. is what I love about when people talk about when they get to college and they finally find that thing that lights them up. You know, like some of them say, well, I started in this class and I realized very quickly, not for me. And then I found this other teacher. So I took this thing on a whim and then they were like, and then it just lit up for them, you know? And so that's what happened for you. But it sounds like in high school, you had opportunity mm-hmm. and then you just saw, and then you just started looking for what are other ways to do more of this. And
yeah.
It sounds like your professors were like, here, freedom, right? Just take the equipment, go do and see what you can create. How fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I studied overseas my last semester and or my second to last semester. And I took a camera, had like a small, I mean, it was big. It was bigger than phones, but pretty small for camcorder. And so I filmed a lot of stuff then and took pictures and came back and made this long. I mean, it was like probably 30 minutes, you know, because it had been a whole semester of stuff. And made this cool highlight video of our overseas trip. And that was a fun experience too. It was like that was probably my first time to take a lot of footage, because that's the thing with editing, sometimes it is an overwhelming amount of footage that you have to go through and piece together to make a story or just have something that looks good and like carries itself. So that was a really good experience, like being able, because that's one of my strengths now is to handle a ton of footage. A lot of editors are just like, nope, can't do it, don't want to do it, hate this kind of edit. And I'm like, I love
Yeah.
this kind of edit, like, give
And
me
you love it.
more.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah,
Yeah,
it was great. Such great experiences back then.
that's what I think, you know, you all in this space are so good at is what we see as the finished product is, you know, it's like, wow, they nailed it and it was in 30 seconds or it was a minute 30 or it was 3 minutes or whatever. You don't even notice how long something was because the story just kept moving forward, right? But what you don't realize, because I know I've done this with my own marketing videos and even with the podcast, and then I have people send me testimonials that are videos, and I'm like, what do I keep? What do I leave out? What's important? What's really, you know? And you're just like, wow, it is tough. It is tough. So I just want to applaud you that you
Oh,
love
thank
that
you.
part, number one, but
Me too.
that you all can turn it into something that's so magical, and we take it for granted because we see such great stuff on TV and in the theaters so much, you know.
Yeah. Thanks. It is. It's hard. Yeah. But I mean, for me, it's fun because it just feels. I mean, it's hard sometimes, of course. It's not always fun, but it feels like putting a puzzle together to me. Like having a video that is a lot of pieces, or let's say a lot of interviews, people talking, and you've got to. You know, really take in everything everyone's saying and pick out the exact right pieces and put them in the exact right order, and then find the exact right footage to go over it. But it just feels like building a puzzle, you know, and it's like that feeling of when you're done, it's just like, wow, I finished that. But there's no picture you're looking at, unlike a puzzle that you just, you know, are
Yeah.
building what's on the box. It's like the final image, the box cover is in your brain, and that's it. You know, it's, and that's why you could give the same editor the same, you could give multiple editors the same amount of footage, the same footage exactly, and their edits will be, could be vast, drastically different because we're just using our creative brains to put it together the best way that we think it should go.
Yeah.
So it's a fun craft.
I love that analogy of the puzzle because you're right. With a puzzle, you know what it's supposed to look like when it's done. And you know when you're done. With your work, you don't know what it's going to look like when it's done. You have this blank canvas, which has got to be freeing, but pressure at the same time. And when are you done, right? When, you know, is it when you finally get it into the 3 minutes or you get it under a minute and a half or whatever? Plus, I love, you know, that you know, you can change the order of it, right? The telling the story, right? You can have the middle part that they, you know, shot for in the middle, put it at the beginning. You know, there's a whole bunch of
Yeah,
different ways you can do stuff. So yeah, very cool.
totally. It's also making people sound really eloquent, well spoken, because some people might have a rough interview, same with podcasting or audio editing. Might just not be great at speaking or do a lot of repeating themselves or a lot of pausing or you know, filler words. But then when they see the final piece and you've like edited the crap out of it to make it sound awesome, they're like, "Wow, I'm really good at sp I'm really
I'm
good."
really good at this. And it's
And
like,
you're
well,
just like,
no,
"Yep."
I'm good at making you look good. Yeah.
Like, I'll let you take the credit. That was all you. Yes, that was
Well,
exactly how the interview was.
and
But
I'm
it's
good.
fun. I mean, it's like the whole point is to polish, you know,
Yeah.
polish the raw footage, polish what people are saying, and make it like really great.
Yeah, it's tough. I was interviewed for a I was running this women's leadership organization. It was a nonprofit, and I got interviewed on the radio. But he interviewed me, and then he was going to edit it. Well, oh, I was terrible. I couldn't get the words out. I kept saying, that didn't sound right. Can I do it again?" And at some point, he was like, "No, we've got enough. We're done." And I'm just like, "Oh my God, this is." Now that I'm in this doing podcasts and doing editing, I totally get where he was. Like, it's fine. You know, part of it is you're such a self-critic, right? But part of it too is like, he's like, we just need to be done. You know, there's a point where you just have to be done and you're not getting any better, by the way.
You're overthinking it now.
Yeah, you're overthinking it and you're not getting any better. So, well, very cool. You've talked a little bit about your career at Chipotle. How did you get into some of those jobs, or did you ever have a time when you were stuck? I mean, you've been following your passion, so it sounds great, but you know, a lot of times careers don't always appear exactly when you want and need them.
Yeah. Well, my first two jobs out of college were at ad agencies, and I was editing car commercials, which is a very niche field for video. Like it's unique. I had to learn a lot about it early on. You just have to work really fast. You have to put a lot on the screen, like graphics along with the footage. Try to be creative with it, even though it's basically the same thing. I was just like, hey, we're having a sale on cars. It's like, how creative can you be with that? Okay. But I did that. I had one job at a place and then got another job at basically the exact same type of place, just in a different part of the city and for more money. But so that was a good early experience with getting into professional editing. And I really liked it, but I did get burnt out too pretty quickly because I was in my 20s. There was just stuff I wanted to do. I had wanderlust really bad. I'd already traveled a lot, just luckily kind of as a high schooler and in college, but I wanted to do more of it. And I just felt really tied down with full-time jobs. And I was just going in and making these car commercials day in, day out. And I was just like, I don't want to do this. So I kind of like blew my life up and quit and went on a road trip for 2 months with a friend. And we like rock climbed all over the West. And it was really fun. And also it was like not really fun. There was just something missing the whole time. Cause I was like, I want to, I mean, she was the same way. She hated her job. So it was a little bit different cause she was like not in her passion. But we were just like, oh, forget corporate. Let's go do our own thing. You know, let's go live on the road. And she loved it. And it was just like totally in bliss every day. And I was like, this is fun, but I don't know. I feel weird. And I figured out in retrospect, I needed to be making video. You know, I felt like, something was just that part of me was missing because I wasn't creating anything. I was just moseying around and like doing whatever. And that didn't fulfill me. So anytime my old company, because they begged me not to leave, they were like freaking out. And I was like, no, I'm going, I got to do this. They would call and be like, need help. Where is this footage? Our new editor doesn't know anything. Well, and I would jump on, I would answer the phone and be like, oh
You're
my gosh.
So excited to get the call, right?
I'm so excited to talk through video, you know, that was like, I mean, like a ridiculous amount. So when I got back from that trip, it was kind of perfect because that company, you know, I got back and got in touch with them just to check in on everything. And they were like, we want you back. And I was like, I don't want to work full time. They're like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to freelance. I had heard about this idea of freelancing. And they were like, what does that mean? Because they didn't really know. They had only ever had full time people. And I was like, I'm just going to come in and do all the work, but not be here 40 hours a week. I'm just going to get it done and then I'm going to leave. And that's how that works. They were like, okay, how much do we pay you? And I was like, this amount, you know? And they were like, okay. So it was kind of perfect because it started my freelance career. Cause I freelanced for 7 years at that point. And they were my first retainer client. And I was getting paid almost the same amount I was when I worked full time. I just didn't have the benefits and, you know, all that stuff that I didn't even care about back then, you know, as like a 26-year-old, I was like, whatever.
But now you're like, oh, benefits. That's kind of important.
I know. Yeah. But I didn't care about a 401k and I didn't care about the, you know, 10 holidays a year, because if I was freelancing, I could just take days off and only go in for 3 hours a day, if that made sense. And so it was awesome. So then it's kind of all I needed, but I also started picking up some more clients through those few years. So it was perfect. And then I moved to Colorado when I was 28, I think. And that would be, you asked about a challenge. That would be the challenge. I was doing really well in Dallas, got enough work, was like living the life of a freelance video editor quite well. And then I came here and just thought I would have clients, like no big deal. I'll just pick up some more clients. And it was not that easy at all. I didn't know anyone. I didn't even know how to make connections. I didn't know about networking groups, nothing like that. I was able to keep some work from Dallas, but like not nearly enough to like survive, you know, to even pay rent or anything. So it was a challenge. So I don't even remember what I did. I just, like, as far as looking for work, I don't know what the methods were back in 2008, but I'm sure I was trying them.
There was LinkedIn at that point, I would think, but
yeah, maybe, or like monster.com maybe.
Yeah.
But I didn't want a full-time job though. Still, I was still like very adamant about not working full-time because I wanted my time freedom, but also I needed money. So I started doing odd jobs. I started doing like promo, like giving, doing promos for Larabar, which is a Colorado brand, like handing out samples at concerts and stuff. And I also got into personal training and got a certification and started training people, which I really liked, but I did not, I don't think I ever could do that full time. It just was, it was a lot. And it, when I was doing it, I missed video still, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you're still out trying to get clients. So if you're trying to get personal training clients, why aren't you out getting video clients? You know what I mean? You end up being in that same spot. You think, oh, I'm going to get this certification and then people are going to want me. Well, I still got to sell myself. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a cool thing I did for a while. But I'm glad I went back to video. But I eventually got clients. I mean, not surprisingly, picked up a automotive advertising client and started doing car commercials again. I was like, very full circle. I mean, I could do these in my sleep at this point. But that was great because it was very consistent for a while. And then I was actually working there at his little office and somebody came in. This was like 2013 or 14. And he was like renting a camera. And so I was the only person there. So I was like, oh, okay, let me help you out. And he was like, yeah, I work at Chipotle. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And it just, it felt, I wasn't looking for full-time jobs still, but it felt very circumstantial that, or just like meant to be that he walked in at this time and he said, wow, we really need an editor in our training department. We're kind of like starting an internal training or internal video department for training. And I'm kind of in charge of it, but I don't really like to edit and I don't have enough time to edit. So I was like, I really want to pick up an editor. Would you be interested in talking about that? And I was like, yeah, because I loved Chipotle, like in general, as food, as a restaurant, as a concept with their values. So I was like, yeah, sure. So I went in and had several rounds of interviews and it just sort of happened as though it were meant to be that I started working there and then went full time. And then that brought us to where we were earlier.
Wow. Well, that's so cool. Like you said, just randomly, you happen to be in the same place at the same time with this guy and just strike up a conversation. So, oh, that's interesting. You know, I always, I got frustrated when I was in, when after I got laid off and I started looking for more work again back in corporate, I got so frustrated when people say, well, you know, I just lucked into this. And I'm like, how do you luck into something? Well, that to me is lucked into it, right? Is that you happen to be there, you're talking about equipment. And so you kind of knew you both had were in the same space so you can have a conversation, but, and then it leads to, you know, this, you know, probably once in a lifetime career at Chipotle. I mean, that's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt meant to be, for sure. Since I wasn't even looking for full-time, you know, I had actually just turned down a full-time job like literally the week before.
Oh, and then really?
Yeah. And so I was kind of like, well, maybe
now, why did I turn that down? And then now, but this one seems more intriguing, right? You get that little tickle or that the tingle in the belly. It's like, I should take this, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. And I'm glad I did. I mean, it was very cool to work there and to work with a really good team. It was, it felt like a unique experience. There was a lot of people with similar interests around the same age. We Chipotle had a really big budget, so we could do kind of anything with video, which was super cool. We had like great equipment. We could try things, we could outsource things that we couldn't do ourselves. It was just super unique. It was a very cool time. And I still have really good friends from there. Like, it was just a great experience that I'll always like think of fondly and be excited about having.
Yeah. You know, it's also important, I think, you when you recognize when you're part of a high performing team. Because sometimes when we're in it, we don't recognize that it's high performing. It's just everything's working and it's going good and did it. And then all of a sudden one team member leaves or something changes in the company. You know, and I've had these pockets of high performance teams over the years. And I try to be very mindful and purposeful now when I find that connection or find those teams, because it is rare and you can't find it everywhere. And obviously maybe something was a signal in that other full-time job that told you, this isn't right. But then the Chipotle one just told you it was right. And I don't know how you knew that, but something told you that it was the right thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. It is that atmosphere of high performance and just helping each other, like feedback, got really into feedback, open to it and giving it, which I hadn't been in an environment like that before. But it was really great because it just wound up, everything was better with more eyes on it and really like kind of working together to build something. And that is something I miss, being, you know, kind of working for myself. But I just try to hold myself to a higher standard now, you know, and be like, I have to be high performing. I cannot be lazy. I have to give my all to this video, you know, and not just like skate by, which when I freelanced before for those 7 years, I think I was very much just doing the bare minimum to get paid. And, like, the videos were good. They were fine. You know, I wasn't just doing crappy work all the time, but I wasn't holding myself to a high standard. I was just kind of doing what they needed, not giving a lot more, you know, and that's just how I was for a while. But after working at Chipotle and then coming out of that, it's very different in my mind. Like, the customer relationship and satisfaction is so important. But also just delivering over what they would expect, you know, like I like to wow people with videos, and that also keeps them coming back too. I mean, I have a few retainer clients I've had for 2 years that would never imagine letting me go because they're so happy with everything I give them, because I value that so much for them to be happy. So it's different. It's a different mindset this time. It's more of a business owner mindset than a freelancer mindset, even though I kind of still just freelance. I just view it a lot differently, and I like it better on the side.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's a very important distinction. And I love that you joined this team and the team made you better. And that as a team, you all probably made each other better, it sounded like, because of the way the feedback mindset was in there. And this whole, you know, how do you keep learning and growing and doing more maybe than what's asked of you versus just doing what was asked of you. And so that's probably a great lesson, I think, for anybody in a career, right? Is how do you want to show up? Do you want to do more than what you're asked, or do you want to just do what you're asked? And sometimes, you know, you get rewarded for it. So therefore you just keep doing it and you can see the payoff and it's all working. And other times you're like, well, I'm not going to do more because it doesn't pay off.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yes. And part of it is just integrity, is being true to yourself and like keeping promises to yourself. Right. So if I say I want to be a really good video person to work with, I want to produce really high work for people, and I don't hold myself to that standard or hold myself to that, you know, that level, then it's letting myself down. It's not keeping that promise to myself, which is a lack of integrity, which doesn't ever feel good either, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say that goes with any business owner, any person working in a company. I think realizing what your values are, and hopefully they're like high quality work, would be one of them if you're producing anything or giving any service, and just keeping that top of mind as you're in your career, you know, whatever that career is.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're looking at your work today, do you ever step into like the shoes of somebody, like you think of a colleague and go, oh, what would so-and-so say about this? Or what would the team have, you know, said I should have done? Do you kind of channel other people sometimes when you say, you know, you try to hold yourself up?
Yeah, I definitely do. That's a good question. Yeah, for sure. One guy I worked with at Chipotle, Jordan, it's kind of interesting. He came maybe my last 2 years. So it was kind of like later in the game, since I was there for about 5, but he came as like our video intern, and he was amazing. He came in and just like wanted to do all the work, was trying things, was working really hard, made us look bad. Like, I mean, our video team was small, but we were just like, what is this guy doing? You know, I didn't like him. He like rubbed me the wrong way because I felt like he made me look lazy and bad. But also he was kind of doing all my work. So I was like, well, I mean, okay, I guess I'll have more free time at work to do whatever I want. But yeah, at first I was just like, what is this guy's deal? Like, calm down. But through those couple years of working with him, it did make me step up my game. And then we left Chipotle. We left because Chipotle moved to California at the end of 2018. So they laid off like almost everybody, which was a huge deal. Anyway, so he and I both, you know, I started my company, he got another job. And since then, we've worked together a lot. I've used him for freelance work. He brought me on last year to edit for his company that he worked for full time for like, gosh, it was like 8 or 9 months of consistent editing work. They're like they're a political nonprofit sort of organization that does a lot of like PSAs and awareness work. But so I was able to work with him again in a very close capacity, because we would Slack every single day. We would always be on Slack, tons of feedback back and forth. And it felt so good to work with him again. And it raised my quality of work again. And so I feel like, he's sort of the pinnacle of what good work is to me video wise, because he works so hard. He's always trying new stuff. I mean, he's so passionate about it and learning more and making stuff look different and better. It's just super inspiring. So yeah, sometimes I do think, like, what would Jordan do? Or how would Jordan handle this? And sometimes I just, even if it's not like something I'm working with him on specifically, I'll still get in touch with him and be like, hey, can you help me with this? You know, and he always is super willing to do that. Like, he's just an amazing person to know. Yeah. So that's the person that stands out the most to me, even though he's younger than me, had less experience than me. I learned and still do keep learning so much from him.
Yeah. What a great story. And what a great story of showing, you know, that, you know, a new person coming in is just hungry, right? What can I do? What can I do? I want to be in this business. And he's thinking, what do I bring? Right. I got to prove myself probably, but also give me a chance. And I want to do everything. I want to learn everything. I'm so hungry. That's so cool. But after you've been in it a while, you're kind of like, hey, chill out, man. We all.
I got a little lazy here and there.
Yeah,
you know.
We all got, we got work to do and deadlines here, and we don't have to kill ourselves on every project every day.
Right.
He was like ready to go. Wow.
Yeah, it was cool. I'm just so glad we're still in, that we're in touch, but also we're like closer than we ever were at Chipotle. You know, we've just grown in that professional relationship so much, which is super important for, so, you know, for me working by myself, I'm like, it's good to have people like that, that I can just ask about things and or just ask for feedback and talk about how something's going with video.
And you never know when that next big job might come that you need more people, or you're going to need, you know, more ideas or whatever, and you want to keep those connections going. So very cool. Well, and I really am impressed too that you said, well, I didn't really like him at first, but you were able to get over that, because some people never get over that, right? And they're just like, oh, that's, he's so annoying, da, 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 da. But now you really started to recognize the value and the strengths that he brought and what you brought. And if you can get yourself out of that threatened mode, right, then it's like, well, how can we now, again, back to that high performing team, he made the team better, right? And so how do you then really maximize that each time a new person comes in and recognize your tendencies, maybe when new people come in and that I feel threatened or he just rubbed me the wrong way kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also like the whole difference with between a growth mindset and fixed mindset. Philosophical Carol Dweck is the person who invented that and wrote about it. But it's like the fixed mindset is like, I have certain amount of talent and this is what I'm good at, and I only want to do the things I'm good at, and that's it, you know. And a growth mindset is, I can learn anything and I'm always going to be working and I'll never know it all and nothing's perfect. And I think that was just, I was super fixed mindset. I kind of always have been, I think. And he just is so, he's like the definition of growth mindset, like truly. So I think even that difference, I was just like, I don't get this guy, I don't know about him, you know. But yeah, once I got past the limiting thoughts I had with that, it only helped, right? It only opened me up to grow more myself, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then now look where you're at, right? And where he's at. And he was growing from you too, because, you know, he didn't, like you said, he didn't have as much experience. So he was learning every day as well, but just in that growth mindset versus fixed. Cool. Well, great example. I always love when we can pull stuff like that out. And, you know, and we forget about that stuff a lot of times, right? You kind of get entrenched in something, or you're like, well, this is what I bring and here's my strengths. You know, and now you're stepping on that, man, you know, this is a project I wanted to be working on and now you're stepping on it.
Don't make me look bad.
Yeah. Well, Heather, I could keep going probably for most of the morning, but we do have to start wrapping up. So as we're talking about strengths, maybe this is a good time to step into one of the wrap-up questions, which is, when you look back at your career, what do you think served you best? And that could be a strength or a habit, a discipline, but what do you think served you best?
I think this might be a little counterintuitive for a lot of people and what they've been told, but I was never very goal-oriented. I think I tried to be, like, I would make New Year's resolutions and, you know, goals like that. When I turned 30, I had a 30 at 30 list. I was going to do 30 things that year. I did like three. I don't know.
You got the three of them.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I think we have this, or I had this, this mindset that I was supposed to be goal oriented and have these benchmarks I need to hit career wise and all of this stuff. And it just never worked for me or felt right. And it was like stressed me out when I would even think about goals. So instead, I've always just, I think it's my nature to just go with the flow and sort of see what life presents to me and decide to take that. And it's served me well through getting kind of the right jobs. I did have that struggle when I first moved here for a few years with trying to get clients and stuff, but I think that was fine. I mean, sometimes you just have struggles in life, and there were other things I did and learned during that time that just grew me as a person and kind of expanded my knowledge in different areas. I just go with it and not be so, oh my gosh, I have to be, you know, at this, I have to be a director of this company by age 40 or whatever, you know, because then if that doesn't happen, you're just beside yourself and disappointed and whatever. So I don't want to set myself up for that kind of thing, those expectations and possible disappointments and all of that. So for me, and this probably won't work for everybody, but just going with the flow, trusting that things will work out, seeing what the universe presents to you, with your unique talents, has served me really well.
I love that. Thank you. You summarized that so well, because I can tell you, I'm someone that's that same way. The setting the goals thing just always felt so weird and so structured. And now listening to you talk about it too, there's a part of me that also, what I didn't like was the external measure of what I needed to achieve. I think early in my career, I was in corporate and I was like, oh yeah, started out as a supervisor. I want to be a manager. I want to be a director. I want to be vice president. And then once I got to be vice president, I started looking at that SVP going, ugh. I started really paying attention to what are my strengths? What am I good at? What do I want to bring to the table? What do I want to be doing every day and contribute, and how contributing? And I saw at that level, it didn't seem to be as much contributing what I like to do as much as it was dealing with all of this politics, maybe some dysfunction, things of that nature. So I love what you said though. You followed your gut, you mm-hmm. followed your passion, but you tried a lot of different things. You know, like you said, you took that 2 months. Oh, this is what I want to do. And then you're like, oh, but you were feeling weird the whole time, right? And then you moved to Colorado thinking, this is great, and I'm just going to pick it up. And life isn't always easy, but you figured it out. And but you tried other things too. I guess that's what I appreciate about your story as well, is that you were in action, right? But like we were talking earlier, you were doing things that were improving you, but you also realized, this is not my thing, right? This is not my passion.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't hate those other things. They were fine. I mean, I liked them, but... yeah, it's just been obvious to me over and over and over again that video is where I need to be. That's what like fulfills me the most.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you just keep getting better and better at it, right? As you work with other people and take on new projects, and plus technology keeps coming up. Right. So you get to, you know, participate in that and be part of that. So very cool. All righty. Well, last wrap up question then is, any words of wisdom over your career that really impacted you? It could be a quote, or maybe mm-hmm. someone said something to you that just really got you out of a funk, or maybe that you've said to friends or family when, you know, they kind of are in a funk.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a phrase or words, but early on, that first automotive advertising agency job I had sort of a senior editor that was like my mentor, I guess. Like I worked in the same room as him, but we had different shifts. So we'd overlap for 2 hours. I worked the night shift from 4 p.m. to midnight, which was fun back then, but now I would die. Like I go to bed at like 8:30. Like I could never stay up till midnight. But back then I was like, cool. I would go to bed at 2. I don't even, so different in my early 20s. So we'd overlap in the afternoon and I'd watch him edit, and he would just sort of talk me through what he was doing. And then he would pretty much always kind of give me a challenge. Like, okay, if you have some free time tonight, you know, after you do the editing, you know, I want you to work on, take this tutorial and learn how to do this type of motion graphic or whatever. He was an amazing editor and all things post-production. He was really, really good at, and he was constantly working on new stuff too. Like it was truly, he loved doing it. So I guess I picked up from him. I'm not into learning new things still with video as he was then, and how like my friend Jordan is either. But what I learned from him, this guy, Jeff Morgan, was just to be really good at what you do, to get really good at that skill, that thing you offer, be so good at it that if you work for anyone, they're going to be like, great, I want to work with you again, you know? So I am really good at video, particularly editing. Like that is my top skill in life, and it just has been for a long time. It's not even difficult for me. It's just something I've gotten really good at because I've worked hard at it, and it hasn't felt like work because I've liked doing it so much. And it's something that just intuitively makes sense to me. It's like how my brain works. But I do think anyone getting into any career or offering any service, like you just have to be really, really good at it. And that alone will present those other opportunities for you. You know, I think it's that combination of being good at this skill that I have, and then also seeing what the universe has for me and going with the flow and taking what is presented. All of that just snowballs together because, you know, you take an opportunity, you're good at it. Somebody will see that and refer you, use you again, or refer you, and you know, you'll just keep getting more opportunities to keep doing that thing. So I guess that's my advice is get really, really, really good at least one thing, you know. And if you can get good at several things that you could offer, that's awesome. But you've got to have like one really, really top skill, I think.
Yeah, that is awesome. I love that. It's you get noticed, right? You get noticed, you get the call back, you're the first on the list for the project that comes up. I mean, all of those things start to happen when you're really good at something, right? You just stand out, you're top of mind. It just happens, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And like if, you know, people I know that I've worked with before in any capacity, I mean, because I can do all things video, you know, like I mentioned, we'll shoot, we'll write, I can do animation even. But what comes to mind if people have worked with me before or know me and they need an edit, just like a straight up video edit, call Heather, because that is the thing I've presented as like my top skill, and they have seen the work and they know also I'm easy to work with, I'm fast, you know. So I will always be the person they think of, which is a good place to be when you have your own business.
Love that. Love that. Well, on that note then, we'll go ahead and wrap up. So thank you so much for sharing your story. You never know who needed to hear that today. And listeners, if you enjoyed today's interview, please subscribe below so you'll be alerted when other interviews are published. And if you have any questions for me, or if you want to get in touch with Heather, you can find this interview as well as her social media. I'll post that on my website, lifestorycurator.com. It's in the blog section. And then also we'll post Heather's social media. But also, you mentioned you had a class or an online class or tutorial.
Yeah, at some point you know, when phones came out with the cameras were getting better and better. Social media really took to user generated content, and now it's huge, short form vertical video in the form of Reels, TikToks. People can make their own video. They really can. It's not like only professionals do video anymore. It doesn't always make sense to hire a professional if you're making social media videos, right? So at some point I started teaching people like, hey, you just need to know some basics about how to make video look good. You can use your phone. You got a great camera. It's all you need. So I started teaching that. And then I also taught how to edit on your phone too, because there's lots of apps that you can edit with that are like surprisingly robust. You know, it's kind of amazing what they can do with a little app. So I do have an online course and coaching program called Phone Video 101. And it is just like it sounds. It's the basics of learning how to make great looking video on your phone specifically to use on social media is kind of the idea with it. So people can check that out at phonevideo101.com. And I tried to really put together everything I learned from my 20 plus year career, you know, video wise, like really not dumb it down. That's not the right phrase. But just consolidate it and just give people ex just what they need to know, not anymore. Explain it in a super basic way that anyone can understand and just utilize right away. So try to make it as easy to understand as possible so people can just instantly get to shooting and posting, because it's super important right now to have video presence if you're a small business owner or entrepreneur for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate that you're just giving us the basics. So many times, you know, it starts with the basics and then you get to the next line, and they're just like, you're overwhelmed by the end, right? You're like, no, I should have just stopped at the first 3 minutes, because that just to get started, right? Because it can be so overwhelming. I get it. So appreciate that you do the basics. So, all righty. Well, we will post that on my blog as well so that you people can get to it. Say the name again.
Phone Video 101.
Phone Video 101. Okay. So that, look for that on the blog, so that then you can find Heather, and then you can, I'm sure once you see that, then we'll all be shooting more TikTok and all the other fun stuff. So.
I hope
All
so.
right.
I love
Well,
it.
thank you so much, Heather. And on that note, I'll say stay safe, stay well, and let's keep sharing those stories. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for having me, Kathy. This was super awesome.